B-Pod Studios.
Now,
that's hard on the ears.
More Tusher and Rich.
Ooh, that gets your back hair going.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Oof, I don't care for that at all.
Hey, we are Tusher and Rich with a very fired up Joe Murray, who has not been on the air in a week and is not eating bread.
We're talking about it all the time.
Well, I bring it up.
No, I know, but Joe is living a life of temptation. I mean, this is what he has chosen to do with himself. He has sworn off of bread. He is doing a great job of losing weight. How many pounds are you down now, Joe?
I'm down 50, and I've plateaued.
Meaning
2 weeks in a row, I've either lost or right around.
But you're not gaining it back.
No.
You've lost 50.
Nope.
You've kept it off. You've done a great job. You're being very diligent about this. But as we said before the break, Joe is, and you'd think, living this life, you would try and put food to the back of your mind. Joe has decided to go the opposite direction and talk about food nonstop, which to me doesn't sound like the most healthy way to go about your business. I don't know how you do it. I know I couldn't do it. Diet and then talk about food all the time, I'd constantly be, I'd be like the cartoon character that floats to the window where the pie is sitting there on the windowsill. I don't know. It just seems very unhealthy.
Well, imagine like gambling and betting on sports and not talking about it all day and not betting on it. So, like, I understand what you're talking
about.
No, that's what I'm saying. I can't. There's certain things, there's certain battles that I'm going to win. And the food one, I'm winning. I'll talk about gambling, but that's going to be, what I'm saying? It's kind of hard when you, like, we did a win total in the Sun Belt yesterday. There's a team that, like, we love to bet the under on. And I it's going to be hard for me not to bet the under on it. But I'll talk about food all day and not eat food.
Wait, so you're not gambling now?
No, I'm trying to make the comparison of I talk about gambling a lot. Imagine if I, like, talked about gambling so much that I didn't gamble, like, that would be really hard.
That would be difficult.
But food is a different story.
Well, a man who is having the time of his life goes by the name of Dan Roach. And
hey!
2 days ago, he set off for Cooperstown. He said it was a 4.5-hour drive. Then, without explanation, said it took him 6 hours. He said there was no rush. He was minding his own business. What happened in that hour and a half? I am fascinated by, because he said he's obviously he's under the instructions to make this like a digital thing, because all these companies now are freaking out that everything has to be digital. So they've obviously told him to make digital content. Mm-hmm. So this morning, of course, he woke up and took a wordless video of grass, literally grass at the side of the road.
20 seconds, yes, of a video.
Yeah, right. 20. I mean, I think the whole town is captivated by what Dan Roach is doing. But it is literally just him at the side of the road filming grass, like as if we should all go, where did you find? What is second? Grass? Like, where did you find grass? It's only in Cooperstown.
No, but this is the most majestic grass ever.
It's not. It's like if you pulled over anywhere. You can pull over on 93 and go trees and grass. I mean, it's just the side of the road in an area that does not have a lot of things happening at this moment.
Today is a big day for Dan's sanity, though, Fred. Today is the day where David Ortiz arrives in Cooperstown.
Yeah, see,
and you have to figure that as the weekend goes on, he'll be more and more in lockdown mode. He'll get a chance to hang out with his peers. I'm sure there'll be strict things that the Baseball Hall of Fame wants him to do starting tomorrow and leading up to the ceremony. So I think reading the tea leaves, today would be the window. If Dan Roach is going to get his 5 minutes with David Ortiz, it would be today. And this is why Dan drove out. Dan drove out Thursday morning for a Sunday afternoon ceremony.
Wednesday.
So, Wednesday for a Sunday afternoon ceremony. This is a big deal. These 24 hours are a big deal to Dan because he spent a lot of time building up this personal relationship, and he was promised he'd get a sit down with Ortiz, and so far he doesn't quite have that locked down yet.
Yeah, he is. He's already putting old interviews that he's done with David Ortiz up on the internet. It's a very confusing time for Dan. Here is audio of Dan when he arrived in Cooperstown.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, we made it. It's like pulling into Disney World, that sign when you first get there to the Magic Kingdom. Also like going to the Cape, going over the bridge, heading into Chatham for a Cape League game, same type of feeling. Welcome to Cooperstown. Pretty special, pretty cool journey. She usually takes about four and a half hours. I took my time, closer to six. No worries at all. We're here.
Now, how do you take your... Again, I don't know how you take your time driving somewhere that's 4.5 hours away. Like, he took a video, a very quick video at the New York border, and then he went into a convenience store that just to show they had David Ortiz beer. So you just knocked off about 15 minutes. I have no idea what else transpired. I don't know how you take your time with speed limits. Like, it is what it is. It's 4.5 hours. Like, were you driving on the median? Were you, like, going 20, like, on the side of the road? Like, what the hell were you doing? But tell me if I'm wrong, because you're going to have to do this on your own time. Watch the videos, and as time goes by, he seems to getting more and more aggravated. Which makes me think that he's not hearing from the Ortiz people, because David Ortiz, I think, flew in last night. If the pictures I see are of any evidence, I think he flew in on a private plane last night.
Okay.
But do we have the videos that he shot yesterday, Danny?
Yes, I have two. There are two cuts here. Yes. One of him outside right, the Hall of Fame, right? And then the other one with the plaque.
All right. Let's start with the one outside. Here he is outside of the Hall of Fame. This is from yesterday.
Here we are, across the street from the Baseball Hall of Fame. Okay, gang, here we are, across the street from the Baseball Hall of Fame. Ready to go inside, have some fun. Let's do this. Should be a great Thursday here in Cooperstown, New York. Outside the Hall of Fame here, every day these standings are updated with the latest standings as to how everyone is doing. And, of course, the Red Sox are struggling a bit when it comes to the AL East. But there's always the second half, which begins this weekend. So... we will keep you updated. They do it every single day here at the Hall of Fame during the baseball season. Pretty cool.
No one else does that, right?
Yeah, that is amazing. There is a video of him like later in the day when he's leaving and he's outside of the stadium. If you could load that in, because he says he might come back six or seven more times over the course of the weekend, which is the main thing. But I mean, I can understand wanting to go back there if they update the standings. I mean, that is something that's going on. I don't know how
you're
else you can find him.
Maybe spotlight something else in the building other than
the standings. Yeah, I mean, he shows the standings as if, like, you take that in for a half an hour. Like, it's the Grand Canyon. Like, you stand in front of the standings. You're like, whoa.
Yeah.
Look at that.
Yeah, Yankees are playing a day game. Wow, yeah. Look at this.
Maybe the room with the plaques in it. Maybe you go in there. But just,
yeah, see, well, he does. But he says, and he also says that he could spend hours and hours and hours and days looking at the plaques. And listen, the Baseball Hall of Fame is the best Hall of Fame. But, I mean, let's be honest. Like, it's a two-hour and a half long experience. It's not something, you're kidding yourself if you're going for 5 days and you think you're going to visit the Hall of Fame five times. I mean, the plaques are the plaques. I mean, it's a plaque of a guy. And then you go, oh, neat. And then you go, oh, I've been to the Hall of Fame. Then you go about your business. Then you leave. And then you pull over on the side of the road and take pictures of grass.
When was the last time you were there?
Oh, I was a kid.
Okay.
Like a teenager.
Okay. I went, I think, 15 years ago. That was the last time I was there. I spent about 3 hours in there, and that was enough. For me.
Oh, yeah. And you don't go back. And then you don't go back for 15 years.
No, it's a pilgrimage. You know, you go in, you know, you eat. I mean, downtown Cooperstown is, you know, I don't know what the right word for it. Quaint.
It's whatever. A quaint town. Yes.
Yeah. Whatever. I mean, it's just the town that time forgot. And it's deliberately kept that way. So, you know, you go, you eat outside, you enjoy, you drink in the atmosphere, and you go. It's a 3-hour trip inside the building. Maybe you spend a day or two around Cooperstown, and then you go home.
You take the train.
That's right.
Joe, have you ever been to Cooperstown?
Yes. I was a kid, and then I went. I like it there. So I know why I think Roach is loving this. I mean, he is a baseball historian and all that, but I don't. I think this is the last time he's going to do this in his career. I don't think there's going to be another Red Sox player that goes in.
He'll find another way to go.
Yeah, but for him, though, he had an attachment to David Ortiz. I don't think there's another player that's going in the Hall that he has an attachment to.
No, it doesn't matter if there's a Red Sox player going in.
This year's
Dan's
special.
Still going to
come
go.
On.
Well, this year is special for him. It's a reason for him to go. But if you think this is Dan's last trip to Cooperstown, you're out of your mind.
Oh, no, I am. No, but this is the last time he's going
to go. Is
someone
taking him out? Is like, do you know... Is one of your ruffian friends going to kill him?
I've been out with. I've seen Dan Roach out in public. Everyone
is
loves
he taking
Dan Roach.
The orange line in the future.
Listen, Dan Roach doesn't take the orange line. Okay.
It seems like you know like what his future holds. It's very disconcerting.
No, I just think I'm trying to make the point that there's no other player that he covered or covers that will go to Cooperstown into the Hall of Fame. There isn't going to be another one.
Devers, if he sticks around.
No, but do you think Roach will be around for that?
I don't know. I mean, how much does he have to work? We'll see. We'll see what
the... Bogart's in 10 or 15 years, maybe?
No.
Nah, I don't know.
No.
No, I don't think Bogart's
no.
in
the
Okay.
I'd all right. I love it, but nope.
All right, do we have the audio of him out in front, Dan?
I have the plaque one. We're working on the other one of him outside.
All right. Well, don't worry about it. All right. We will be back. Speaking of football, which we have not talked about just now, Andrew Callahan is going to join us, talk about the pup list and everything that's going on with the coordinator situation for the Patriots. That's coming right up.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
It's TMR.
It really is just a reality check of just how no one cares.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Hey, we are the Toucher and Rich Radio Show. And some Patriot news coming out yesterday. Danny, do we have our guest?
Technical difficulties trying to effort him on Zoom right now.
You could always just call in. There's nothing wrong with that.
Well, we're in the bullseye here, Fred, with contests and whatnot.
Uh-oh.
Right? I mean, this is right around the time where things start clicking.
Mm.
But if he can't get on Zoom, then, you know, what are you going to do?
I think Nick took care of it. No, we good? It's not us. Actually, I'm in a different room, so I'm going to shut up.
Yeah, shut up.
I don't know
up.
What's going on. Yeah, tell me to shut up. Go ahead.
Yeah, shut up, Joe. What the hell are you talking about?
Thank you.
Joe, if you were just joining us, likes the under on wins. Not because of the offense. 8.5 is the total. He likes the under because of the defense. And we will discuss all of this, as there have been no coordinators named. If you look at what is going on, he has Bill Belichick has named Matt Patricia the senior football advisor and the O-line coach, and Joe Judge the offensive assistant and QB's coach. And then with the defensive staff, Gerard Mayo and Steve Belichick, both linebackers coaches.
Odd, I would think.
This team needs. Yes. This team has more linebackers coaches than they do linebackers.
More that linebackers, more than the linebackers that have actually played. Yeah.
For real.
All right. Do we have our guest or no?
Sorry, no, not yet.
All right. Is he going to call in or are we going to?
Yeah, we can try him on the phone here.
Yeah, let's try him on the phone.
While we're efforting him, did you guys see Kyler Murray's big contract?
Yeah, we did.
How tall is Milo right now, Fred?
Milo's probably 5'10 right now.
Milo's going to be taller than Kyler Murray by next year. And Kyler Murray just made $230 million.
Yes.
I get going all in on a guy. I mean, look, if he's your guy, if you're convinced he's your future, great. You sign him. Andy Dalton with Cincinnati, whatever, you sign him. But the fact that Kyler Murray now has a higher average annual value than Patrick Mahomes is ridiculous.
Yeah, another $40 million. What's the A's payroll, by the way?
Less than that.
He made the right choice, huh?
Yeah.
Remember, he got crap for that.
Yep.
People thought he should have played baseball because of the guaranteed money.
And because you don't get it hurt, but it is true. He made the right decision. I hear Nick. I got no communication. When we have him on, do we have him on? Oh boy!
Seems to be a problem. Yeah.
All right. We have him. All right. So let me introduce the gentleman. All right. Andrew Callahan is the Patriots beat writer for the Boston Herald. He joins us on the Volkswagen Dealers Always Dependable Expert Hotline. Mr. Callahan, hello, sir.
Good morning, gents. Happy Friday.
Thank you. Were you surprised by any of the names on the PUP list that came out yesterday?
No, not at all. You got two guys recovering from ACLs and Raekwon McMillan and Jabril Peppers. David Andrews was a limited participant throughout minicamp. James White, obviously, the hip injury. So, no, none of those guys were a big surprise.
Do you think James White is going to make this football team?
Man, it's going to be tough. I think they're going to give him every single opportunity, including sitting out as long as he needs, and maybe even start the season on the PUP list, which, of course, he would need to miss the first six weeks of the season. He's a captain. He's been a captain for, you know, virtually his entire career. But, look, if you can't play, you can't play, and he's nearing the wrong end of his career for a running back.
And we hear reports that he can't walk at this point, or at least not normally. I mean, the rehab from hip surgery is going as quickly as he can get it there, but the word is he's still not walking correctly all this time after surgery.
Yeah, walking pretty critical to football, as is running, as is dodging people who would like to take you down and perhaps hit that hip. So, you know, knowing James, the little that I do, you obviously wish the best for him, but I wouldn't take that as a great sign. And I know Mike Reese saw him in person, bastard, while I was on vacation. So he had that idea of what James looked like. And if that's the case, obviously it's pretty ominous.
Who replaces him? Like could Pierre Strong get some time here?
You're looking at Ramondre Stevenson. Stevenson told us back in minicamp, you know, he's a guy, we talk so much about Mac, right, with the year two leap. Stevenson's going to make the same leap theoretically. And what he told us in minicamp was that he specifically focused on being a third down back. Now, I don't know if that was him going into his own offseason, you know, telling himself, I want to get better as a pass catcher, I want to get better in blitz pickup. But that also could have been a directive from the coaching staff. Of course, had Stevenson in his first full NFL offseason, you know, this past spring and winter. And if that's the case, that might have been a sign from them of saying, we don't know how James is going to be. So just in case, you're a backup option.
All right, Andrew, the big story, Belichick has named his coaching staff, Patricia, senior football advisor, O-line coach, Joe Judge, offensive assistant QB's coach. Let's start there. What do you envision their roles being, and how big a deal is this to you?
Yeah, I don't think we learned a whole lot yesterday. It just confirmed reports from different places that this is going to be the structure. And I think, you know, whatever their secondary titles of offensive assistant, senior football advisor, those are just the ones they had in January, or in Patricia's case earlier when he came back to New England. So, you know, Judge is still going to be coaching quarterbacks. That's now official. He also has his hand in helping with the wide receivers whom he coached in 2019. And then Patricia has really been working with the offensive line and by extension, the running game. So I think, you know, Jeff Howe, the Athletic, shot down the report that they'll have a pass game, run game coordinator kind of setup. Obviously, that's true with the titles out yesterday. But I think you're really looking at almost two de facto co-coordinators here. What I can tell you is from the people I've talked to this week is that they're still in the process of kind of reworking this offense and still building it out. So they installed some in the spring, but Patricia and Judge have the lead on this, and everyone's kind of contributing to what will be, I think, a newer system than we think here this season.
Who's the guy with the tablet sitting next to Mac after offensive possessions during the season?
Well, I mean, it has to be Joe Judge, right? Because he's the quarterback's coach, so he's the one going over whatever Mac did in any given play. Now, does that mean Joe Judge is calling plays? I would think so. But at this point, you know, we don't know. And there's a chance the Patriots don't know either.
All right. Do you think Patricia's on the sideline, or do you think he's up in the booth? What are you thinking?
I think it'd be hard to be a good offensive line coach or even an average one if you're up in the booth just with all the different things you have to go over with those guys and sit and kneel in front of them. Because you're not only just talking to five, you know, that are starting, but you're going to have your swing tackle there. You've got your backup interior guy who could play any of those three spots. And then maybe, depending on the week, you have an eighth lineman. So if you need to communicate with all of them, he should be on the sideline.
So who's the eye in the sky? Who's the Ernie Adams? Who's the guy that Belichick communicates with saying, you know, what do you see? You know, help me from upstairs.
Yeah, so it'll be interesting because Evan Rothstein is a guy who was listed as an offensive assistant yesterday and comes from an analytics background. He was someone that Patricia hired when he left for Detroit in 2018. So if he's working on the offensive side of the ball, that's obviously someone that Patricia trusts, and I think you could have up there in the booth as someone who's not assigned to a particular position group. You also have a guy named Tyler Hughes, another offensive assistant who has a quarterback's background, so he might be seeing the game from kind of a macro level of whatever they're doing with coverage. But, you know, tight ends coach Nick Cayley is another one, really, really smart, hands-on coach. So they've got some options.
All right, then when you move to the defense, linebackers coach Rod Mayo, linebackers coach Steve Belichick. How do you read that whole situation?
Well, I was bummed for you. I thought they might give you a call about being D coordinator.
What's that?
I was bummed for you. I thought they might give you the defensive coordinator
role.
I think
if Fred grew a beard, get the beard going. I think.
Or if I change my last name, I could obviously hop in there. If I change my last name to Belichick, Fredicek. I could be coaching some. Yeah, that's right, Fredicek. I could be doing that. All right. Who do you have any more of a clue of who's running the defense?
Well, I think it's the same as the last 3 years. You know, Steve Belichick calls defensive plays, as he did through most of the 2019 season and has done ever since in 2020 and 2021. He and Gerard Mayo are kind of the lead assistants defensively, but this still comes down to being Bill's defense. You know, he's never going to relinquish that. I think even when you had, you know, teams in there with Romeo Crennel or Dean Pease, like, you know, they set out the vision that Bill had in the first place. He might get a little more hands off than he's been in recent years, but there's always going to be that dynamic of those three in the lead, and tie goes to Bill.
What do you think how do you think the players view the Belichick boys? Do they take them seriously? We've had Ted Johnson on, who thinks that if he was playing, there might be some skepticism of the credentials of the Belichick kids and, you know, why they have those jobs. Do you hear anything about that?
I do not. And I can tell you, you know, of course, the last time we spoke with most of these players in person, you have some sort of back channels to some guys. But back in 2019, I wrote a story about Steve Belichick and kind of broke the news of him calling plays or being the primary defensive play caller, even though Gerard Mayo and Bill had their hands in that earlier in that season. And I got universal respect for Steve. And this is something you even hear from players like Chris Long, who, of course, has his own podcast. Steve joined him the other day, who, you know, were coached by Steve before the last 4 or 5 years when he's been on the staff now a good dozen years. So he has experience. He's someone who grew up within this system. For me, it's a matter of how well do you develop these kind of players. So I think everyone universally has a respect for the acumen of the Belichicks. And I think, look, they're not going to say that on a Zoom call, which has been our primary communication the last 2 years. But when I really last checked in and asked around with these different guys in the locker room, they had a lot of respect for them. I'm not saying there's not better coaching to be had across the entire NFL, but I think as far as in the locker room, there's not as much of a problem as there is you might have suspected 3 or 4 years ago when they first came up as position coaches.
Given that and given the experience you say he has, can he effectively get this defense to the point where they're able to stop people to win football games this coming season?
Yeah, I think the question is probably better positioned like this. Can you stop people in the playoffs to make that happen? Because when you look at Steve Belichick's 3 seasons as the primary defensive play caller, they finished number one in scoring defense in 2 of those seasons. The outlier was 2020, when obviously the roster was ransacked by COVID and, you know, people leaving and sitting out, et cetera, et cetera. So, yeah, look, I think they knew to an extent that they were dead in the water going up to Buffalo, which is something I only recently learned of because of, you know, reasons of COVID and just the talent disparity and what Buffalo had done the previous game. But that's the question. What can you do to defend the most elite offenses in January and slow them down? Because overall, the body work is good. It's just in those critical moments that they really have some problem solving to do. And that even goes back to the end of the season in 18 and 17, at least in the regular season, where they also didn't kind of ramp up post-Thanksgiving like we always think they do.
Wait, so you have heard that they, going into that playoff game in Buffalo, thought they were dead in the water?
you know, they thought they had a chance to win, but things were more dire behind the scenes as far as roster and availability or writing about Jalen Mills than I knew at the time. So, I think, frankly, a lot of people reported.
I think McCourty said that too, right? They just weren't ready that week.
Yeah, and look, you face a team twice. They don't punt in the second meeting. The first one was a windstorm where you kind of throw that out the window. You know, you're looking at an uphill climb going on the road with a more talented roster and a quarterback who might be the best in the league on a given day. Like, that's tough. And you're down your second corner in Jalen Mills. Matt Judon, it was coming off of COVID. You know, other guys in the locker room as well. It just, you know, that game, I think, you showed a gap that some people in New England might have wanted to deny between the Patriots and the Bills, but it also might have exaggerated it a little bit because of the circumstances I just mentioned.
Hey, Andrew, when is it time to look at the future contract of Mac Jones, considering what Kyler Murray got yesterday? I know he's the number one overall pick, but Jones was 15 and had a pretty good season. So if you were projecting an extension for Mac Jones, What would you see that extension as?
You know, it's a good question. It's just a little too early. I mean, per league rules, they can't even have these conversations just yet with Mac's agent, which doesn't mean, of course, it doesn't prevent teams from doing that with young quarterbacks they want to keep around. But it's really going to hinge on this year too, right? Because we talk about the year two leap. If Mac kind of holds steady here, when his weapons are better and he's in a, you know, simplified system, that doesn't bode well. You want to see some linear progression, not only from his standpoint, but from the front offices. So look, I think he's going to hit extension time at the right time. When we talk in the next winter, next spring, the cap is going to go up by about $20 to $30 million, and a couple agents told me this offseason they expect it to be north of $300 million in a couple of years. So if you're Mac Jones, you just sit tight, you do whatever you can to get better every day, which sounds like Patriots BS, blah blah blah, but it's true, because he got into the league at the exact right time where this new TV money and this new this CBA is going to send the salary cap spiking, and I think that's when he'll catch
Would they
it.
Pay him? Would they pay?
Yeah, I mean, look, you don't have an alternative now. Could they talk him down from setting the market like they did with Brady all those years and say, "Oh, we'll take the money and we'll give it to receivers"? Yeah, possibly. Mac is a very team oriented guy, but I'm not sure, because he's also someone who wants to cash in with that second contract. And you see what these guys are getting in these second deals. I would say there's potential, simply because of the way NFL economics work, that Mac's second deal is bigger than the one that Kyler Murray gets or just got. And that goes for a lot of other quarterbacks who are coming up for their second contract.
And that would mean the Patriots would have to take care of this quickly, because the longer they wait, I mean, take a look at Dallas. The longer you wait, the higher the price goes up. So the Patriots would have to, instead of messing around and trying to talk him down, just get his name signed, get his name on the dotted line quick, so they can avoid the price upgrade.
Yeah, you know what's funny, though, is Dak's deal right now doesn't look that bad when you have Kyler going ahead of him. Of course, Aaron Rodgers went ahead of him. Russell Wilson's going to be coming up. So it's like, I think that was Dallas by mistake.
I mean, Dallas didn't do that. You know what I'm saying? I mean, Dallas cost themselves what? If they had signed him earlier, $100 million because they waited?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know the exact figure because I wasn't following that all that closely. But I think the larger point is, the longer this goes and the quicker the cap is about to escalate, the percentage of which his contract will occupy that cap goes way down. And that's what we're talking about here with teams when you're signing quarterbacks to new deals. How much of their contract, this new deal, is going to occupy that percentage? Like, if you have a quarterback who's making 33% of your salary cap, forget it. You're not going to compete. It's just really not going to happen. If you can hit the sweet spot somewhere 16 to 22%, Brady was always kind of on the lower end of that or somewhere in the middle, that's where you can build around them, unless they're absolute supernova. So I think Dak, his contract will fall within that range within a couple of years, even if it's way above that right now.
All right, Andrew Callahan, good stuff. Patriots beat writer for the Boston Herald. Thank you so much for the time, sir.
Thanks, guys. Enjoy the weekend.
All right, you do the same. Joe will enjoy the weekend. He's taking you on a culinary excursion throughout the North.
Culinary tour of the North Shore.
Culinary tour of the North Shore at starting at 9 o'clock
tomorrow morning. Forget the sports takes.
There will be no sports takes.
Well,
I
encourage people, if you want to talk about sports, to call in.
Right.
And nobody wants to hear about it.
Right. And so what you do is you'll take. Is there a restaurant you have in mind, just off the top of your head?
Well, if it's Italian, it's Petrillo's. So, you know, if it's Mexican, I'm going to go Howling Wolf. But that's kind of how it works. We're gonna mention the. And I'm not from the North Shore. Again, you know how you just talked about Dan Roach driving to Cooperstown and going over the bridge? That's what it's like for me when I cross the Tobin. You know? Like, you know, we're going down Storo, you know what I mean? Reverse the curves, you know? Then all of a sudden you start going up, and it's the Tobin Bridge, baby, and it's Chelsea first. You know? It's Chelsea, and then it's, you know, Revere, Saugus.
Is there some food-related song you have to play when you do this?
No. Okay. We can make one up if you'd like.
All right.
Because, I mean, that you live in the ideal place, because as you go up Route 1, you see all your friends.
There's so many options. That's the one thing I'll say about living in Boston is that, oh, yeah, there's tons of food places in Boston, but, like, when I go back home to Hyde Park or, like, Rosendale, Westie, there's, like, three places to go.
Right.
You know, like, where else do you go? You live in Newton, right? You only get so many options.
There's not many options.
You know? North Shore, it's a buffet. It's a buffet of delight.
And Joe will take you on that magical tour tomorrow. We will be back in just a moment. Here are the headlines.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
It's called the Toucher and Rich Show, but you can't forget Waller.
You explain it to me, John. Explain it.
Honey.
Did you call him honey?
I did. This is like the argument I had with my wife last night.
Pull it.
Now, more Toucher and Rich.
What do you miss the most out of the things that you used to eat?
Pizza. I don't even have to think about it.
It feels so good. Pizza. You're lying here next to me.
It's just the love of the sauce, the bread. You know, I love roast beefs, but the sauce, the bread, pizza.
My hands just won't keep still.
I like to look at them.
Will you ever go to like a place and
I love you, baby,
and just to observe the food?
Pizza.
Do you ever find yourself like Googling food?
Pizza. I am all about pizza. But I want to watch, that's for sure. Pizza.
Okay, and then the last time you had pizza.
Yeah, the thin slice. Pizza. Thin slice. Pizza. Sauce. The bread. Pizza.
Very good, Mike Lockhart.
Can I use that one?
Feeling inspired. Absolutely. When you do your culinary tour of the North Shore.
Getting suggestions here.
Ooh.
The people watching us on Twitch are suggesting places that you should go. Captain's Pizza in North Reading, apparently.
I just don't consider that the North Shore.
Oh, all right.
No, I just the North Shore is...
Have to be closer to the water.
You got to be closer to the water. Like, okay. Come on. Wait, I'm not from the North Shore, but like North Reading is kind of... I know it's north, 95 north. It ain't North Shore to me.
All right.
Where does the North Shore start?
I would say once you cross that Tobin Bridge, it's over. But people will consider Medford... Some of it, like, they've... So it's weird. If I'm from Boston, so I'm a townie. I'm a legit townie. Let me tell you, I never left West Roxbury in my life in Rosendale, Hyde Park. All right, or Dedham. We went to, like, Patriot Place, and that was it. And on the other side, like, you go to Fenway or Cambridge. Nobody wants to go to Cambridge, right? You guys hate Brookline? Cambridge is, I think, the worst. But
that's where I grew up. Thanks, Joe.
No, I love you. But
People's Republic of Cambridge.
Come on. You know Cambridge sucks. Alewife is the worst. John already mentioned
it. Alewife is the worst.
And then the bike lanes. Don't even get me going on the bike lanes. And now where do you park? They have all these food places to go, right? Everywhere. Cambridge, got to come to Cambridge. Where do you park?
Get rid of your car. Come on, John.
And I'm not walking, so forget it. and they don't have great pizza. But anyways, I will say this. The North Shore probably starts after Logan Airport. So, like, even though East Boston's Boston, it's still North Shore. And then you just start going to Winthrop, right up. Right up. So, unfortunately, Medford and Malden people, you're North Shore.
All right, so they are North Shore. Medford is the North Shore.
That. Never considered Chelsea, Medford, and Malden.
Oh, Chelsea's wicked North Shore people. Wicked.
Okay. All right.
All right, and so when does the culinary adventure start?
Tomorrow. Tomorrow.
No. But when you cross the Tobin Bridge?
Oh,
because I can't imagine that the entire North Shore is full of all these delights.
Yeah, let's just hypothetically say you passed Fenway Park and you're going down Sturro. Okay, you have the choice to either go towards Route 1 to 93 North. Once you get into that little spot, you might as well just start playing. You know, the North Shore music, which I don't know what that would be. I have Sopranos in my head. I don't know why. The Sopranos song. But once you cross the Tobin, and if you're coming from the other way, you know, like in they play the Dropkick Murphy song when they go over the Zakim. Same thing. The Zakim and the Tobin. Once you cross those bad boys, you are on the North Shore.
I know, but when does the culinary experience start?
Oh, tomorrow. So I will say the... I'd say Winthrop would be a place that would be on the list somewhere in that town.
Okay. Winthrop. That's where you start opening your eyes and your senses and start thinking,
yeah,
we got something going on.
I start sniffing around. We're on the North Shore.
Okay. Winthrop is where that starts. And is there a particular place there?
Yes. It's called Belle Isle. Mm. For anyone who's been there, they make a lobster roll, let me tell you.
All right.
I prefer a hot buttered, though.
Yes, because you have made it clear mayonnaise only belongs on four things.
Well, actually, yeah. Well, yes, you heard this?
I heard this, okay, Joe. I'm a P1.
Thank you. Mayonnaise only belongs on a few things. Tuna fish, a sandwich, right? So, like, that's, you know, maybe like, you know, one of those salad dishes they make, pasta salad or whatever.
Right.
And maybe a burger. But what else do you what else do you put mayo on? Be real.
There's
one
guy that puts mayo in his coffee, the dude from one of the SEC schools.
What the hell is that?
From Kentucky, puts mayo in his coffee.
I saw that. The dude from, the Kentucky, Will Levis. Give me a great quarterback. Big dude. Huge.
Well, I would say if you're putting mayonnaise in your coffee, that means you're putting mayonnaise on a lot of stuff. Yeah. But you have conceded that you will not like hit someone in the face if they put mayonnaise in a lobster roll.
It's warranted. Some people like it cold. I like it hot.
I don't know why you would take something that's good like lobster and then cool it off and put mayonnaise on it.
Yeah, but then put some butter on
butter
that
enough
bad boy.
In that day. You don't.
Well, yeah, because you dip lobster in butter when you're eating it normally. So yeah, you put the lobster on the roll and then put the hot butter on it. And so it's just you're adding bread to the equation. That's what a lobster roll should be.
Yes. You can get a lazy lobster, too, where they make a little dish with, like, some broken up breadcrumbs.
Mm-hmm. I've seen
that.
Butter
on it, man, and a little ramekin. Oh. Spectacular.
No one has to stand up.
So we're starting in Winthrop, and then and we're starting at Belle Isle.
Belle Isle for a lobster roll. And listen, people may say you got to go here for a lobster roll. If you want actual meat in your lobster roll, that's the spot.
They have good views, too, I'm told. Very good views in the city.
If you're right over the airport, outstanding.
That's what I've been told.
Now, I feel like I'm on the North Shore when I'm there, even though the airport's next to me.
All right. Well, who wouldn't want the view of the airport? Now, is Belle Isle an actual island?
No. It's just a place.
Because Belle Isle in Detroit is an island.
Oh, okay.
But, I mean, who doesn't want to look out and sit outside and hear the airplanes, like, flying very close to you?
Yeah, but you're looking at the water, you know? You're looking at the water. You're looking at the city, Fred. You ignore that other stuff.
Can you get a good view of Deer Island, Joe, of the treatment facility that's out there? No? In Winthrop? No, those are beautiful. Yes. John knows.
And I know that people are the people are coming out. Oh, the North Shore starts here. Because there's some real proud-ass North Shore people. Like, I'm proud of Hyde Black. Hyde Pride is what I call it. But yes, there are some people that, nope, this isn't the North Shore. Dude, I'm from the, name a, like, you don't meet people from Malden, Medford, Chelsea, Somerville if you're from my side of the world. You don't do it. Like, you grew up in Lexington, John.
Yes.
You mean to tell me you knew people from anywhere, like, north of you?
No,
like, for real.
Not.
No, you didn't,
no,
because
did
you
not.
Stayed
no.
in your little area.
Yes. Yes.
Because we're all townies.
Didn't know people from Burlington or Winchester or Reading or
and,
no.
And I know we're up against it, but there's two things I'm out on if you listen to this, Fred. I think we should get rid of packets. Like, no more packets. For example, if you go to a fast food joint, right, if you get a sauce, it comes in a little thing that you have to peel, right? I always say how important the clamshell is sometimes. You know, the styrofoam thing, John, that thing?
Yes, yes. Yes.
But
yes.
Packets, they should be out. We don't.
You're
need,
a ramekin guy.
We need a little, like, you know, a K-cup? How it's, you know?
It's called a ramekin.
Everything should
You've
be one of
table.
Those going forward. Out on packets. Because you know what? One ketchup packet ain't going to do the trick. It's just not. And one mayo isn't going to do the trick. Out on packets. And there's one other thing that drives me crazy. It's called marrying the ketchup. When you go to a diner, right, and the ketchup's running dry.
I used to have to marry the ketchup. Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about. Out on that ketchup, too. It doesn't taste right, and it can't be sanitary, right?
I think it's technically against the health regulations. And I was told to marry the ketchups.
Yeah.
But so you're a ramekin guy. You give you a so that's a new phrase for you.
Ramekin.
When you go to restaurants, you go just go give me a ramekin. Give me a ramekin filled with ketchup.
Yep. And Heinz does this thing now where it comes in a little bottle ramekin package where it squirts right out. It's
I've
great.
Seen it. Yep.
It's plastic. You can choose. You can squeeze it.
Exactly.
And open it.
Yep.
Or you can open it like a dipper. Yep.
Right. Absolutely. There you go. You never worked in a restaurant, huh?
I worked at a McDonald's once.
Okay, but you never
which
worked.
Shared the McMurray. Yes.
What was the McMurray again?
Oh, this is glorious. Oh,
all right,
yeah.
let's break.
No break.
Yeah,
no.
Let's break. And then I want to hear about what this McMurray is.
Yeah.
This must have been when I was out of town.
This is great. You're going to appreciate this.
All right. I look forward to it. It says Joe Murray loves pizza. All right. And then when we come back, lead in with that song again because it sets the mood. It gets him going. All right. We'll be right back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.